We're supposed to be receiving victory, not taking things to try to give ourselves victory.
Jonathan Evans says we shouldn't be wasting time looking for more than what God has provided.
We need people to receive what they've been given and go full speed with contentment and thanksgiving and gratitude and faithfulness.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. God's given us abundant gifts, but that doesn't seem to stop us from trying to pick up bits and pieces of what the world has to offer. Today, Jonathan Evans tells us about a character in the Bible who made that mistake and the trouble it caused for him and his entire nation. Let's join Jonathan as he begins.
This first verse of chapter 7 comes on the heels of a big victory against Jericho. They just beat Jericho by a plan of God, and it says that Joshua's name was famous in all of the land. But then when you get to Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, there's a contrast that shows up. The first word is but. But is a contrast. That means what I'm about to say is totally different than what's really been going on. What's really been going on is that God has been with the people and they have been successful for a long time. What's really been going on is that they just beat Jericho and they were circumcised in chapter 5, coming under God's rule. In chapter 1, they got a new leader. In chapter 2, they got saved by their enemy when Rahab hid the spies. You know things are going well for you when your enemy has your back. In chapter 3, they crossed the Jordan River. When you get to chapter 4, they're thanking God. They have the stones of remembrance. Like I said, in chapter 5, they were circumcised, which means they're having the physical evidence or the symbol that they are coming under the covenant of God. And in chapter 6, they have a great victory by a plan given to them by God in order to overcome one of the battles, the first battle of Joshua, first fruits victory that they had. So chapter after chapter after chapter, they're experiencing the favor of God in their life. And then you get to Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, and it starts with a big but. However, conversely, things are about to change. There's a contrast that's about to take place in their circumstances. And the reason why there's a contrast that's about to take place in their circumstances is because Achan took something that was banned. He took something that was underneath the ban, and he took it after having victory or inside of a victory that God had given him. I want to make sure that we understand and that we have this clear, because this is a big deal in Scripture, that embedded in every victory that we are given are things that are banned to us but belong to God. I want to make sure you heard me. Embedded in every victory that God gives us in our life are things that belong to God and are banned to us. And if we start taking things that belong to God, rest assured that the anger of the Lord will burn against his people, because there are things like God's glory that belong to him, even if he's giving us victory. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 16, he says, go take the city. The city is yours. But in Joshua chapter 6, verse 19, he says, but the articles under the ban are mine. The gold, the silver, the iron, the bronze, those things belong to me. And those were the things that Achan took. Achan was greedy. He wasn't okay with just receiving the favor of God. He wasn't okay with just receiving the victory that God had already given him. He wanted to take things that belonged to God inside of the victory that he had just received. That's called being greedy. And a lot of times, you find this in Scripture where people go over and beyond what God has given, and then a contrast shows up. You can look at Adam and Eve. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2 and 3, and you look that God said, from every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat that. That one doesn't belong to you. So I'm giving you victory, Adam and Eve. I'm giving you a freedom with limited regulation. I'm giving you all of the trees that you can eat. I'm giving you the garden that you can sustain and guard. I'm giving you that to cultivate. I'm giving you everything that you need. I'm giving you perfection. All of these victories I'm giving you. But Adam and Eve overstepped the boundary. They went and took the fruit and they ate of it, and a contrast showed up. All of a sudden, there's dissension in the marriage. All of a sudden, there's pain in childbirth. All of a sudden, there's toil in the land. All of a sudden, things change. Cain kills Abel, and chaos ensues. By the time you get to Genesis chapter 6, God is telling a man he needs to build because we're about to start this thing all over again. Why? Because they weren't satisfied with receiving the victory that God had already given them. They wanted to take something that was banned inside of the victory to go farther than God said that they should go. It doesn't stop there. You can look at David. David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 4, says he saw Bathsheba and he took. And at the moment that he took, he lost everything. I wish someone would have told David and told Adam and Eve. I wish someone would have let them know that there are things that belong to God. There are things that don't belong to you. God had already given David victory after victory. He had already made him first in line when he was last in line when Samuel came to choose him. He already gave him victory over Goliath. He already gave him victory when it was time for him to get away from Saul, and all the time he was chased by that battle that was coming after him, like many of us are chased by things and we continue to overcome. He already gave him victory over the Philistines, and now David couldn't control himself and stay in stewardship mode of receiving what God is giving. David saw something and took for himself. If someone would have just told him that right after that, he would become a murderer. If someone would have just told him that right after that, he would lose a child. If someone would have told him that right after that, he would have one son kill another son and another son come after his throne. And all of that came at the moment that he took and wasn't satisfied with what God had already given. So I wish somebody would have told Adam and Eve. I wish somebody would have told David. What about Lucifer? Lucifer was the anointed cherub in scripture. Lucifer was second in command. Lucifer was the highest ranking angel. He already was given victory. But based on Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, he wanted to take God's position. And that was a banned position. It belongs to God. Be satisfied, content with the victory that God has already given you. Because if you take beyond that, scripture says in Luke, I saw Satan, Lucifer, fall to the earth like lightning. He fell because he took. A great contrast showed up for him. You can go to Ananias and Sapphira. They were given victory. They sold the land, but then they kept some. They took some for themselves, and they didn't give it all to God. They didn't give it all to him. And because they didn't give it all to him, I wish somebody would have told them. They even lost their lives. All of these contrasts are showing up in all of these people in the Bible because they didn't sit in the victory that God had given them as a steward. They started taking for themselves to become an owner. And once we move from stewardship to ownership, we've overstepped our boundaries. Achan put it down. It says there is a great contrast that is coming. Chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter, they have received victory in the book of Joshua. They came under the authority of God in the book of Joshua, chapter after chapter. And then chapter 7 shows up before they head into a battle. And the first word is but, because Achan took the things inside of the victory that belonged to God. My question to you is, what are those things that we might be taking, that we might be taking ownership of when we're supposed to be a steward? We're supposed to be receiving victory, not taking things inside of the victory or taking things to try to give ourselves victory. This happens a lot in our lives. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are good plans, plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope, not bad plans. But I hope you understand that he knows the plans that he has for you. So the worst thing that we can do is go take up our own plans. Because when you go take your own plans, when you're supposed to be receiving the plan from God, I can promise you this, a great contrast is going to show up in the plans that you just tried to take for yourself. Many of us have had victory in our businesses. We've had victory in things that we've been able to start by the grace of God and the talent that He's given us, being able to go to work even during a pandemic, and some of us being able to provide. And He's allowing you to have the check. He's allowing you to earn the money, but the tithe belongs to God. That's why Malachi 3:8 says, "Shall a man rob God?" You can only rob God of something that's not yours to begin with. But Christians have been taking plans and taking tithe. I mean, we have each other, but we're also taking marriage when it's a covenant of God. I'm taking what I think it means to be a man and to be a leader, not allowing myself to receive what it is to be a man and a leader from God's word. I'm taking what it means to be a woman in marriage from my history and using my will, my way, my perspective. I'm taking those things. And then we wonder what happens when a great contrast shows up in our marriage. It's because we're supposed to be receiving how to have continual victory in our marriage from God as a steward, not taking our own ideas and implanting them in our marriage as an owner. And we wonder why great contrasts show up. And the more we take instead of receive what God has given us, the more things go downhill and contrasts begin to show up. I hope you're hearing me, because I know Adam and Eve would say, "Man, I wish somebody gave us the reminder." David would say, "I wish somebody told us, don't take." Ananias and Sapphira, "I shouldn't have took any for myself, but given it to all to God." Well, you're getting the reminder today. Our nation has been taking. And you know just as well as I know. And it says the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel because our nation has been taking even the definition of life. Jeremiah 1:5, forget about that, I guess. It says that I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb, but we've been taking the definition and deciding when life begins on our own. And wondering why chaos is ensuing and contrast is showing up. We've taken the definition of justice. Forget Psalm 89:14 that says righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. They are twin towers. That is not a big brother, little brother system. And if Christians would just receive the word of God instead of taking it and realigning it and adjusting it for the way we feel and the way we operate, something that took 400 years can take 4 seconds, because we're not taking, we're receiving. We're taking the definition of sin to be whatever you think is right within your own eyes. But God is saying, listen, guys, I have already given you victory in the construct of my word. I need you to receive that and not take your own ideas. And you wonder why there's a great contrast that has shown up.
Jonathan Evans will have more on how to receive the victory God has offered when he continues this message from his special 2-week series called Survivor. This collection of lessons can provide just the kickstart you need if you feel like your life's burdens and struggles have become overwhelmingly difficult. In these messages, author, speaker, and chaplain Jonathan Evans will equip and encourage you to understand how to relinquish your own self-reliance, allowing you to rest in the knowledge that God is fighting your battles right alongside you. We'd like to send you all 10 full-length messages in this series as instant digital downloads or on CDs as our way of saying thanks for your contribution to help continue this ministry on the air and around the world. And as a special bonus, we'll also include a copy of Jonathan's just-released book, Fighting Your Battles. In it, you'll learn that the promises, experiences, and progress God has in store for you are often only discovered as you endure life struggles with the Lord at your side. And for a deeper understanding of these freeing truths, be sure to check out the companion Fighting Your Battles DVD and study guide. This package of resources is only available for a limited time, so contact us right away at tonyevans.org or call our resource request line at 1-800-800-3222, where one of our team members will be happy to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that information for you again after part 2 of today's message and this.
Love is kind, and kindness is niceness in function, not in philosophy.
Dr. Tony Evans' Kindness in the Culture campaign is full speed ahead. Here's how you can take part. Step 1, request your bundle of kindness cards. Step 2, agree to carry out an act of kindness for someone each week. Step 3, pray for them, share the gospel, and then give them the card. And the last step, enjoy that feeling of changing the atmosphere all around you. Visit TonyEvans.org to learn more. Be kind, change culture. Churches and groups can request customizable kindness cards with your name and logo. See details online.
As a chaplain of the Dallas Cowboys, I'm a Cowboy fan. If you're not a Cowboy fan out there, I can't really help you with that. Anyways, Cowboy fans, listen, this is Dallas. It's Cowboy Nation, Cowboy Country. Everywhere I go as the chaplain of the Dallas Cowboys, there's a red carpet laid out. Anywhere we go, we have fans all over the place because it's really Cowboys Nation. But the Cowboys are my boys, like most of you out there, I would assume. But what I'm saying is these boys were the boys in the 90s. Now, I know it's been a long time, but I got to gloat on the 90s for a second. 1993, 94, 96, Super Bowl. I mean, the boys were in town. You hear me? The boys are in town. They had victory. Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Nate Newton, Darren Woodson. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday, sitting there watching them get these victories. And they got victory, came back the next year, got victory, skipped a year, and got victory again. Now, if Emmitt Smith were to call me right now, and he said that he needed me to come tie his shoes, I'd be right there, bruh. Listen, you don't have to say another word. I got you, because these dudes are titans in Dallas. If Troy Aikman sneezed and needed someone to wipe his nose, I'd be right over, because they are titans in Dallas. They are legends in Dallas. But guess what? As legendary as they are, as big time as they are, and the victories that they have received and the championships and the rings that they have on their fingers, as big time as it is, they cannot go into Jerry Jones' facility and touch that trophy. Because even though they're a part of the winning Super Bowl team, the trophy belongs to Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys organization. If Michael Irvin were to go in there and decide, hey, I'm a champion, I've been given victory, I have victory, I executed the playbook and went and got victory, so that means I can go into Jerry Jones' facility and take the trophy, immediately they would go from champions to convicted felons. It would be a huge drop-off that would come immediately at the time that they took something that did not belong to them. If they call me after that, I'd be like, nah, bruh, I ain't gonna be able to help you. I ain't gonna be able to show up for you. You're gonna have to tie your own shoes, wipe your own nose, because I cannot help you. All of a sudden, your status will fall, not because you didn't win, but because you took something that belonged to the owner that does not belong to you. I hope we understand that Aikman took something. And the question is, what are we taking? In your own personal life, what are you taking? Because contrasts are showing up everywhere. And it's time for us to get back on track. It says the sons of Israel operated unfaithfully, even though they had victory. The sons of Israel operated unfaithfully. Aikman in that moment chose his feelings over his faith. Aikman in that moment chose covetousness over God's word. Aikman in that moment chose himself over God, and he didn't show faith. The sons of Israel operated unfaithfully. They weren't faithful to the Lord. Man, I wish we can get God's people to come back to being faithful to the Lord. My dad always says, faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, so that it might be so simply because God said so. If Aikman would have just waited on the Lord, Joshua 8 verse 2, we're in Joshua 7, but Joshua chapter 8 verse 2 says, hey, Joshua, I need you to go fight Ai a second time. Because in Joshua 7, he's fighting them the first time. In Joshua 8, they're going to go fight them a second time. And in Joshua 8 verse 2, the Lord says, oh, and by the way, the spoil is yours. You got to be kidding me. By the way, all the spoil, you can have it. If Achan would have waited on the Lord instead of using his own ideas, if Achan and his family would have waited on the Lord and maintained faith in the Lord and pushed through and was a receiver of victory instead of a taker of self, God had the spoil for him. But he wasn't there to receive it because the contrast showed up for him and his family for taking something that wasn't his to begin with. And notice, it says that the anger of the Lord burned against the sons of Israel. If I was Joshua, I would have said, wait a minute, why are you mad at me? What did we do? That was Achan. I need you to go talk to Achan and do something about Achan because that didn't have nothing to do with all of us. That's how God works. That's why 1 Corinthians 5, 6 says, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. This is the great team sport that when some of us are off track, the whole body is affected. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12, you see the body of Christ all fitted together. And every member is important to the functionality of that body. Y'all, we need everybody to put it down and have faith in God. Come on, Achan, drop it. We need your marriage. We need your family. We need your faithfulness. We need your church. We need you to be faithful. We need you to give your plans to God. We need you to go forward in the truth of God's word and not the feeling of yourself. We need everybody to help us win. Everybody is a part of this. My coach, when I was in high school, he said, gave us a speech one day in high school, Duncanville Panthers, state champions in 98, by the way. Just wanted to throw that in. But as we were going to win that championship, our coach gave a chilling speech. And he just let us know, I don't care if you're the kicker. I don't care if you're a starter. I don't care if you're a backup. I don't care if you're helping people get water on the sideline. I don't care if it's, I have to give you a towel so that I can use you to wave it to get the crowd going. We need everybody to submit to the process. We need everybody in order to win. We need everybody to be a part and to buy in. We need everybody to play their part. We don't need you to covet somebody else's job. I need you to do your job, do it full speed. And I need you to do it at the best of your ability. I need you to be a part of this. Because guys, as you know, I'm dying with leukemia. And I know firsthand that it only takes a little bit of cancer to infect the whole body. We don't need any cancers on this team. People complaining because they wish they had something other than what they've been given. We need people to receive what they've been given and go full speed with contentment and thanksgiving and gratitude and faithfulness to what you have been given. Because if we can all do that together, we can all be champions together.
Jonathan Evans with an encouraging word on receiving God's victory. Now, don't forget to check into getting one of the first copies of Jonathan's brand new book, Fighting Your Battles, a resource that'll give you support, encouragement, and perspective as you progress toward the purpose God created you to fulfill. And remember, as a special bonus, when you make a financial contribution toward keeping this ministry coming your way, we'll say thanks by sending you Fighting Your Battles and all 10 full-length messages from Jonathan's corresponding audio series, Survivor. You'll find us online at tonyevans.org, where you can make all the arrangements, or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222, where our resource team members are standing by to help. That's 1-800-800-3222. Many of us pray about the serious problems we face in life, but don't want to bother God with the little things we think we can handle on our own. Well, tomorrow, Jonathan Evans will explain why those small issues often turn out to be bigger than we expected, and how our misguided sense of independence from God can get us into serious trouble. Be sure to join him for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.